19. Matthew chapter 19. The title of the message, What Good Thing Shall I Do That I May Have Eternal Life? Matthew 19 and verse 16. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Son that shed his blood on Calvary's cross, that we're even think we're able to be here.
Amen.
Father, we know we're sinners, and
yes.
If it wasn't for your shed blood, we wouldn't even be on our thought probably to even be here today.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for our salvation.
Amen.
We do pray that you would be with these that have been mentioned for physical needs that are unable to be in church this morning. We ask that you be with Pastor now, that you give him the words to say, and give us hearts that are willing to receive what you have for us this morning. And Father, just work now in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Well, I think you figured out right there where the title of the message came from. Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So number one, this morning, question number one, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? You know, we could learn what people's problems are if we were just better listeners to what they're saying. I know we as parents have to work on that, and as I think back in my own life, you know, a child may be upset or crying, and sometimes, you know, as a parent, we may finally say, would you quit whining and tell me what you want? Well, many times the child has already communicated that to us, but we didn't listen. We were busy doing something else, and at first they said it, you know, could I have a drink? And, you know, our mind is focused. You know, could I have a drink? You know, and they get a little more and more frustrated. And finally they're crying. And, you know, we say, would you quit crying and just tell me what you want? I want a drink. Well, then why didn't you say so? Well, they did a lot of times, many times. But we were not listening. And that happens so many times in our lives in relation to us and God as well. We just are not listening to what he is saying. And sometimes people don't have to be little children, but sometimes people get upset. We have a lot of upset people in our nation, and many times people say that, but my representative, my senator just won't listen to me. That's the problem. We had a big to-do in Washington here a few weeks ago, and the problem is the politicians were not listening to the people. Do you want to know something interesting? The word listen appears in the Bible how many times? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but do you think the word listen appears in the Bible 1,000 times? 2,000? Go the other direction. 500? 300. The word listen appears one time. I found that really amazing because that's really something we need to work on, but it only appears one time in the Bible. And if you hold your place here, turn to me, please, to Isaiah 49. Isaiah chapter 49. I was astounded. I often look up to see how many times words appear, and I just could hardly believe it. I thought, well, it must appear in another form then. One time. Isaiah 49:1. And it's the first word. Listen. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. Here's the only time it appears. And these people were going to have to listen carefully because it said, listen, O who? Isles. So these are different people. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from what? From far. So we're talking about different nationalities. We're talking about people that would speak different languages. How many of you have ever gotten frustrated when you've had to call the support line for some product, and on the other end of the phone, it was someone that could hardly speak English? You ever had that problem? Yeah. And you say, why can't they hire someone that can speak English? But really, probably our statement is incorrect. Many times they are speaking English, but we can't understand what they're saying because their native tongue is something else. It might be Indian or Spanish or some Indonesian language. They are speaking English, but they're trying to speak English with vowel accents of their mother tongue. And it sure doesn't sound like English. Have you ever heard someone talk from Boston? Sometimes that doesn't sound too much like our English either. Or Alabama or Mississippi. We lived in Chattanooga, Tennessee for a few years, and I worked at a pharmacy, and some of the workers asked me my name. This lady asked me my name one day, and I told her my name is Mike. And she had to ask me three times, and I repeated it three times. What else do I say? It's Mike. And she finally said, oh, Mark, Mark, like M-A-C-H, you know, Mark. And so, I mean, Chattanooga, Tennessee, they speak a foreign language too, I guess. But it's supposed to be English. So listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, you people from far. You know, sometimes when Pastor Jeremy and Sister Julie learned Spanish, my wife and I and those who were still at home, we went down to their language school graduation in Mexico, and I was shocked. Hear their like a machine gun talking a language, and I was like, how did you do that? How did you do that? So we have to listen carefully. And so we need to do that throughout life, and we need to listen carefully to God. So the word listen only appears one time here in the Bible, but it refers back to his very birth and even before his birth while he was yet in the womb. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. So we have to listen carefully because, as Brother Jesse brought out in his Sunday school lesson, God has created us for a purpose. We don't all have the same task through life. We don't all have the same job. But for every one of us, it's extremely important what we are doing because God had created us for a specific task. And this is something that we shouldn't try to multitask, even though it's hard in life. I was ready to come up and record Brother Johnson yesterday for a nursing home message, and the phone rang. And my first thought was, I don't have time. Whoever it is, I don't have time. I've got to be up at church and record Brother Johnson. But then I saw the name come up, Matachira. And I thought, I do not have time for this call, but I have to take it. I have to take it. I've got to listen to what he has to say. And so we made it anyway with a message. But God had a specific task for Isaiah while he was still in his mother's womb. You know, it's the same with each one of us. Even though we may not have fulfilled that task from the womb, and maybe for a portion of our lives we were not fulfilling that task, but nonetheless, that task is still the most important thing that we must seek out. Isaiah here said, the Lord hath called me from the womb. You know, someone else made a very similar statement, but who did not fulfill that task from the womb. Notice with me in Galatians 1. Galatians 1, that man was the Apostle Paul. He did not always fulfill the task for which he was called right from the womb. In Galatians 1, in verse 15. Galatians 1:15. But when it pleased God who separated me from what? My mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might what? Preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. So he's talking about this immediate obedience, though, is not when he was young. It was when he was an adult and on his task to persecute Christians. So the Apostle Paul didn't always fulfill his calling from the womb. But praise God, he eventually did. Praise God for his grace. Look in verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past, in a Jew's religion, how that beyond measure I what? Persecuted the church of God and what? Wasted it. So he was not always fulfilling God's call from the womb. At one time he was fighting against God and didn't even realize it. Look in verse 23, Galatians 1:23. But they had heard only that he which what? Persecuted us in what? Times past. Aren't you thankful for God's forgiveness? And that God can still use us in some way. He which persecuted us in times past, now what? Preacheth the faith which once he what? Destroyed. What a testimony. Not the bad things, but what a testimony of the grace of God. That the one who wasted the church, the one who persecuted Christians, was now preaching the faith. In this passage, they glorified God in him. You know, we can't go back and erase the mistakes we've made. But we can, from this day forward, serve Christ with all of our hearts. In whatever way, just might seem like a small way, but just to rejoice in it and do it for the glory of God. But are we listening? 1 Kings 19:11. You know, many times we point out that God says things twice. Or maybe sometimes he repeats them many, many times. But we've got to get back to that important fact that if God only says it once, that's enough. That's enough. And that's all that this is recorded in his word. Listen. It's only said once. 1 Kings 19:11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was what? Not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not what? In the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was what? Not in the fire. And after the fire, what? A still small voice. And this time it does not say, and the Lord was not in the voice. Because he was. And he had to repeat something here twice to Elijah. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? In verse 13, it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? What doest thou here, Elijah? He had said the same thing in verse 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? So God just says a short thing, what doest thou here, Elijah? And what does Elijah answer? He gives this great big long answer, verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it. Wow, that's a long answer to just, what doest thou here, Elijah? And you know what? Same thing happened in verse 13. We read the last sentence there. What doest thou here, Elijah? And it's this long answer again, verse 14. He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. God is not hard of hearing, is he? You know, sometimes when you're talking to someone that doesn't know your language, you raise your voice. We were just talking about this recently. You know, when you talk to someone and they don't speak your language, it's like, seeming they don't understand, you feel this urge to talk louder. That doesn't help. When they don't know your language, it doesn't help to talk louder. But for some reason, they're not understanding, so I have to talk louder. Well, did Elijah think, well, for some weird reason, God didn't understand what I said, so I've got to go through this whole long thing again. The Lord knew what he said. I mean, he didn't have to repeat the whole long thing again, but God had to ask him twice in that still small voice, what doest thou here, Elijah? Well, let's go back to Matthew 19, and let's see what we can learn here. Matthew 19 and verse 16. So the question number one, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Verse 16. And behold, one came and said to him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? His question shows us some things. And I think a lot of times if we would just listen, people's questions may help us understand what their problem is. But we don't listen. It's like, oh, this guy needs to be saved. Okay, I'm headed to Romans. I'm going to go down the Romans road. Well, that's fine, but maybe there's another route in the scripture to awaken this person. So, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So his question helps us to see already. He made a judgment call that he really doesn't understand. And we see that because of Jesus' response. Because he says, good master. That's the very first thing he says, and we would just skip over that. But Jesus did not. You look there in verse 17. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is what? None good but one, that is who? God. So just in his question, his first two words, good master, Jesus picks up on that. He's listening to what he says, and that's the first thing he addresses. Why did you call me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. So he's realizing that this young man's judgment is flawed. He doesn't understand. Now, how well did this young man even know Jesus? Well, probably not too well. Knew of him. So he's making a judgment call. And of course, Jesus is the good master, and Jesus is perfect, and Jesus is God. But this young man didn't understand that, and he still calls him good master. You know, we never know all of the facts about any situation that we face. Whenever anyone asks us a question, we don't know all that's involved. We never do, because we don't know everything, and we don't see everything. We don't know exactly what someone said to someone else. It's that way with our children. We may make a judgment call, but often the bystanders that were really seeing all that went on know that our judgment call is flawed, because they're thinking, they probably wouldn't say anything to you, but they're thinking, well, you disciplined this one, but what you don't know is before you got here, the other one, you know, just punched him or her, or they did something to aggravate them, but the parent wasn't there. So we make judgment calls always without the full knowledge. And so this young man is making a judgment call about who is good, and he really doesn't know the facts. Number two, his question shows that he really did not know the value of eternal life. Once again in verse 16, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? The word thing, is that singular or plural? Singular. This young man didn't say, good master, what good things do I need to do to go to heaven? He put it singular. What good thing must I do to have eternal life? That tells us right there, he did not know the value of eternal life. An Italian man started an auto company, which now, I guess, is under Volkswagen, but Lamborghini. How many of you have heard of a Lamborghini? Okay, many of you. How many of you have one in the garage? How many of you young people have one in the toy box? Well, possibly. Okay, at least one. Well, you can buy a Lamborghini, a 2021 model. The base price starts at $421,321. What a deal. Well, so I can walk into a Lamborghini dealership today, or maybe it's a Volkswagen dealership where you have to go to order these, I don't know. But I can walk into the salesman and say, what good thing could I do to get one of those? And he's going to say, you don't understand what you're asking. This thing cost nigh $500,000. And you're walking in here saying, what good thing can I do to get one of those, to drive one of those away? And he's going to lecture me about costs. And so he's going to say, the only way you're going to drive that away is if you bring me $421,321, or if you can get a bank that'll agree with you to loan you that much money. So the problem is that I don't realize the value of that thing. So when someone walks up to Jesus and says, good master, what good thing, singular, what good thing could I do to have eternal life, eternal paradise, never to have to answer for my sin, for all of eternity, pleasures at thy right hand forevermore. And I'm coming to him and saying, what good thing? One thing? What good one thing could I do to get that? Well, you don't understand the price of what you're asking about. That's the problem. And so just with his opening statement here, if we would listen to it, we'd understand more of his problem. He doesn't realize the value of eternal life. The only way to walk away with the Lamborghini was full payment, or someone to promise the payment in full on my behalf. And that's the only way to have eternal life, is to give the full payment or someone to promise to pay that price on my behalf. That is the cost of eternal life. So question number one, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Number two is answer number one. We're going to go back and forth with answers and questions. So question one, answer number one. Jesus answers verse 17. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. So the first part of that we've already addressed. Jesus catches him on that, the very first thing. Why did you call me good? There's only one that is good, and that is God. And the first lesson then that we need to change here is that, notice in verse 17, once Jesus gets beyond that, he says, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep what? Commandments. Now, is the word commandments singular or plural? It's plural. So the young man in verse 16 says, what good thing? Singular. What one thing can I do to get eternal life? Jesus responds back with an example here. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Plural. So, let's go back to the young man. Number three is question two. And he just has one word answer here. Verse 18. It says, he saith unto him, what? Which? Now here we go back. Which? Which one? Which one? He's having a problem sinking in. Okay. What good thing? What is one thing I can do that I can go to heaven? Jesus comes back. Keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. Which? Which? Keep the commandments. What don't you understand about S's? Keep the commandments. Which? Keep the commandments. That includes what? All of them. All of them. Keep the commandments. What if your parent says this afternoon, would you please wash the dishes? And you say, which? Which? Which one? What don't you understand? I said, wash what? The dishes, plural. Don't ask me which one. I said, wash the dishes. That's all of them. Jesus said, keep the commandments. And he says, which? Which? And so, so number four is answer number two from Jesus, in verses 18 and 19. And that answer is, well, here are some examples. Verse 18. He saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So Jesus is giving him some examples of the law. And so number five is question number three from the young man. And he, what lack I yet? Verse 20. The young man saith unto him, what? All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Oh, to talk to his dad and mom. All these things have I kept from my youth. And here's the thing what people say. I've always done those things. I've always done those things. You ask him, are you a Christian? I've always been a Christian. When did you get saved? I've always been saved. They are just like this young man. We find it so hard to see our faults, don't we? We find it so hard. We forget so quick. So quick. I remember I was out with my dad and one of my uncles hunting. We were rabbit hunting. My uncle had a beagle dog and a good rabbit dog. So we went out. We were out in the woods around the swamp. So the dog started howling, yelping, whatever you want to call it. And he had a rabbit on the trail. And so he brought the rabbit by, and they allowed me to shoot. I shot at the rabbit and missed. The only thing my uncle asked was, please don't shoot my dog. So anyway, I missed. And so God was very gracious to me, and the rabbit, I guess, wasn't the smartest rabbit in the world, and allowed the dog to chase him around the swamp one more time. And brought the rabbit before me, and that time I shot and got the rabbit. And I said, I was so excited, I said, I got him on the first shot. Well, maybe that time around, but the first time I missed him. And my uncle reminded me, he just laughed, and he said, you shot one other time, remember? And you missed. We're so quick to forget. So quick to forget things, aren't we? So, he said, hey, those are no problem, Jesus. I get an A on those, 100%, every one of those. So number six is answer number three from verse 21. Verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be what? Perfect. You know, this is the second time Jesus has really had to say that, but the young man is not listening. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So Jesus has to repeat that. He already said in verse 17, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none, what? Good, but one, and that is who? God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Jesus already told him there's none good. There's only one perfect person, and that's God. The young man is persisting. He's not getting it. It takes perfection to get into heaven. So he comes right out, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast. Well, number 7 is question 4, and it's silence. Verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he what? Went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. So now it was time for him to ask another question, but he doesn't ask a question. There's total silence now. Because now he finally realizes what Jesus has been trying to tell him with each of these points. It takes perfection to get to heaven. And when he realizes it, when he realizes that the value or cost of eternal life is perfection. It is not to just keep one law, it's to keep all the laws. It's to love your neighbor as yourself. It's to be willing to trade places with the poor. That's to love their neighbor. Okay, he's poor. He don't have a car. Here's my car. You don't have a house. Here's my house. Where have you been staying? Under the bridge? No car? Well, I guess that's my place now. No place to live. But you know what? Jesus did that very thing. The Son of Man hath not where to lay what? His head. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He did that very thing because he is God. Jesus is perfect. Notice in 2 Corinthians 8, 9. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. He doesn't ask us to do anything which he was not willing to do himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was what? Rich, yet for your sakes he became what? Poor. That ye through his poverty might be rich. So he wasn't asking that young man to do anything that he himself was not willing to do, because that's exactly what he did when he left heaven. He was rich, but he became poor for our sakes. Talk about a house. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 1. John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many what? Mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for who? You. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is perfect. Jesus did give up the glory of heaven for us. He did trade places. So he came from the glory of heaven to a place where he had no place to lay his head. He didn't have a house. He didn't have money. When it was tax time, he had to have one of his disciples, Peter, go catch a fish, get a piece of money out of his mouth to pay the tax. Jesus was willing to suffer and die. That was the payment. And he was willing to do that for us. Notice in Romans 5, in Romans chapter 5, Jesus was willing to trade places with us. He was willing to suffer the death of the cross, taking our sin upon himself on the tree. Romans 5, 6. For when we were yet, what? Without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. Verse 9, much more than be now justified by what? His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Notice also in John chapter 10, John chapter 10. So he died that we might live. He traded places with us. We deserve death for our sins. He died for our sins. He literally did trade places with us. John 10:28. And I give unto them what?
Eternal life,
and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So, it's silent on the young man's part, but Jesus is going to give an answer still to his disciples. And let's go back to Matthew 19. The young man is walking away, which shows us he had the offer of eternal life, and he refused to repent. He refused to repent of his own selfishness, his own material things. Imagine that young man right now who has spent all of these years in hellfire. And just imagine what's going through his mind. What a fool he played that day when he walked away from Jesus Christ. So we're down to verse 23 now. The young man is silent. Verse 22, he just walks away. Matthew 19, 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? Now they get in on asking the questions. Look at Jesus' answer in verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men, this is what?
Impossible.
But with who? With God, what? All things are possible. Jesus had to say it three times. Why are you calling me good? There's none good but one. There's none good but one, and that's there's none good, there's none perfect but God. Don't offer me your what good thing? Don't offer me one thing for eternal life. What are you talking about? You don't realize the value of eternal life. You don't realize the price of it. The wages of sin is what? Death. You're going to offer me one thing? Or several things? I tell you to keep the commandments. You say, which? Which? Which one? Salvation, Jesus' answer, number four, salvation is only possible through God. Only possible. He tells his disciples here, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You know, this question of this young man is really how most people in this world believe. They think. That they can offer to God one thing, or maybe even a few things, to pay for something that's without price of material possessions. It would require blood. It would require totally pure, innocent blood, and only God could offer that, because only God is totally righteous and pure. I pray that the Lord would help us. You know, sometimes even when you have the right answer, people don't accept it, like this young man. But you know what? If we do listen to what they are saying, and if we do give them the correct responses from Scripture, number one, they are without excuse. And number two, maybe they'll be like Nicodemus. Sadly, we don't see this young man ever coming back. But we do see that Nicodemus got saved. He walked away unsaved, but he got saved. The woman at the well walked away unsaved, but she got saved on the way back to the city. And so may the Lord help us to continue to faithfully give out his word. It will not return unto him void. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Father, if there should be any here today that have never been saved, help them to realize there is no good thing they can offer you for eternal life. The price is not things. The price is not our filthy rag works. It would have to be total holiness, purity, sinlessness, perfection. And as you summed it up to your disciples, only God is perfect. It is impossible for man to save himself. I pray if there are any here today who have never repented of their sin, and place their faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, please awaken them that no one is always, has always been saved. The fact is that we were all born in sin, and we need a Savior. Lord, please may no one leave without receiving Jesus Christ, crying out, Lord, I am a sinner. I do confess it. And I do believe that Jesus is the pure and precious Son of God, without sin, God in the flesh, who came to this earth, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross bearing his sin, bearing my sin in his body on the tree, was buried and rose again in victory from the grave. Lord, I do receive you as my Savior. I do want to live for you. Lord, please help us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.